Sunday, April 2nd. We woke up still with the glow of a day well spent, and Lennon and I discussed whether to go into San Antonio to hear Archbishop Lucy preach the Mass at Old San Fernando Cathedral. It had been built in 1731, the oldest on this continent, and the Archbishop was saying a special Mass for all of the ambassadors with prayers for the Punta del Este meeting. Lyndon had said earlier that he wasn't going, but I believe it was the thought of Archbishop Lucy, of whom he's so fond, that made him change his mind. If we could have foreseen, and knowing the Archbishop, we should have foreseen, I am not sure that we would have gone, because it turned about to be another Reverend George Davis sermon in a Roman Catholic setting. Tony and Matiana and Lucy and Lyndon and I, with Elspeth and Walt, and Matilda Krim, how ecumenical we are, and Mary and Bess and Yolanda, flew into San Antonio in the Jet Star. We were met at the door of the cathedral by the Archbishop himself, all smiles, and a sizable crowd of San Antonians, and filed into the dark old church. My first impression was that I should have known the ambassadors wouldn't be here. They weren't, not a one, but a sizable number of their wives were. Mrs. Celso Pastor, and I believe Mrs. Tomich, and Mrs. Larea, and a good many others I saw right in front of us. My thoughts immediately went back to the time when we'd been planning our first encounter with the Chief of State, President Lopez Mateos of Mexico, and had congratulated ourselves on remembering that that was a very Catholic country, and had thereupon included among the guests a noted Roman Catholic prelate to say the blessing, only to be told by the State Department that it wasn't the thing to do for our so-called Roman Catholic guests, the Mexican president and his wife. It was a memorable sermon. The Archbishop has been preaching a long time, and he is unacquainted with fear. The fear of running counter to public opinion, our entrenched authority, our newspapers. He's a refreshing man. He and Lyndon have fought side by side on many ventures through the years. As far back as the early 1930s, he came out strong for Lyndon's stand in Vietnam, but not until he had made a very churchly basis by quoting Pope Benedict XV and Pope Pius XII, the saintly pontiff, in his attitude on aggressors, and Pope Paul VI. And then he went on from there. If anyone thinks that the President of the United States has not made every effort sincerely and honestly to bring our adversaries to the peace table and terminate the war on terms fair and honorable to both sides, he should study current events. He cited Lenin's letter to Ho Chi Minh of February the 8th. He summed it up, if the strongest nation in the world does not defend peace, the cause of peace will fail. And he ended it by praying for the summit conference. I squirmed a bit, but I enjoyed it. And then there was communion, and Lucy walked up the aisle among the heavily Mexican congregation, so sweet and young in a white lace dress. And there was a very touching moment when a wrinkled old Mexican woman walking up the aisle to take communion put her gnarled hand gently on Lyndon's shoulder as she passed. They like him. It is mutual. At the door of the cathedral, we said goodbye to Tony and Matiana. They were off with Bess to the party at the Steves. And then we left for Austin. Our Jet Star had engine trouble, so we changed to a helicopter. Lyndon and Lucy and I and Matilda Krim. We flew straight to the Balcones Research Center for an appointment with Max and Gordon Bunshaft and Bill Heath and Frank Irwin. We landed in a field of bluebonnets, though sparse and stunted by the drought, in what appeared to be a sort of instant Stonehenge. There were 6 stone slabs, some 8 or 10 feet high, and 3 or 4 feet wide, standing in the field, 3 of granite, and then a New Mexican travertine, a travertine from Italy, and the familiar Texas shellstone, Cordova shellstone it's called, with its myriad imprints of the marine life that used to live here when Texas was under a sea billions of years ago. To me, it's a romantic and beautiful building material. Our mission was to decide which of these materials we wanted for the Lyndon Johnson Library, although bids will be let on probably 3 materials, and the final decision can only be made after the bids are in. I immediately reacted negatively to the granite. Too cold, funereal, I'd save them for tombstones, and this building would be monolithic enough. To me, the shellstone is a romantic, fitting, wonderfully indigenous material, a mellow, warm beige at home on the campus, and the travertine a sheer beauty. If it didn't cost so much, if we weren't wedded to the idea that this building should be of an American material. For once, it was a relatively easy and decisive meeting of architects and regents and us. We left a little before 2, feeling good about it and absolutely ravenous. Our helicopter landed at Camp Mabry, and then we departed in a station wagon for Don Thomas's house, ordering hamburgers on the way to be brought there, and went in like a pack of wolves, headed straight for the kitchen table, asking Jane and Don if they had any milk or Cokes to go with the hamburgers, and finding a bowl of fruit and a package of cookies, and set to eating as though we would never have another bite. This was our second mission in Austin, to go to see with Don a house that he thought might be bought for Lucy and Pat, and it was a thrilling experience. I was ready to relive my own joys in finding a home, in helping Lucy and Pat find one, and Lennon was so dear in advising them and listening to their plans and discussing how they might pay for it. It turned out to be an absolutely charming house, owned by a Phelps family, who unhappily are getting a divorce. But I believe no memories can shadow the glow of Lucy and Pat's happiness. The house is open and very modern, around a patio, and a dream of a kitchen, pink and coral and orange, so wild and gay. Lucy was ecstatic. Pat joined us there, having come in from a KTBC trip with Jesse, and we all flew out to the ranch, where Roy White was waiting for us, the great chief of plans, and he and I set about looking over once more the plans for the remodeling and the estimate from Wyrick, which exceeded my worst expectations. Nevertheless, Lyndon said we would go on with it. Nearly 6 o'clock, we rolled up the plans, and Roy and I, and Lyndon and Matilda and the Nugents drove around touring the ranches, looking at the deer, and going by the house that Roy hopes so much to have someday. A delightful old German brick house at the crest of a hill, with a front porch that looks way down the valley of the Pernellis, right to our ranch. It would be so wonderful to have him for a neighbor, and to sit of a summer's evening on this porch, celebrating the completion of some of our projects. But before us lay the long trip to Washington. So Dark drove us in, and we had a fairly early dinner, and then left in the Jetstar a little before 9, taking Lucy back with us for her first return trip to Washington in such a long time. We wrapped ourselves in blankets, and I slept much of the way, and so did Lyndon, and it was 1 o'clock when we were at the White House, the end of a busy, successful weekend that had been fraught with tensions and problems, but it all turned out great.